This evening, before we have our time of singing together and our fellowship meal, I would like to make a few remarks out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. We have already been in this chapter a couple of times before, so we want to continue on. Before we look at the Word of God together, once again, let us pray and acknowledge our need of the Lord's help as we study His truth. So let us pray together. Our blessed Lord, You have instructed us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. And so we ask for the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds, that this night we might understand the words the Spirit has given to His church. And Lord God, we look at words that were spoken hundreds of years ago, in a different culture, in a different language. But yet again, You have revealed to us that all Your Word is profitable. And so be pleased to make it profitable for our lives this night. You know about each one of us. You know our deepest needs. You know all that we will be facing in the coming days. And so please, by means of Your truth, equip us. By means of Your truth, further our sanctification. By means of Your truth, make our hearts to rejoice in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. It is simply an accepted fact, living in the United States of America, that whenever you turn on your television or your radio, you're going to be confronted with some commercials. And nowadays it appears that they bring commercials in a block. 4, 5, maybe even 6 of them, one right after another, taking a block of time out of your program and running all of these commercials. Many of us are quite shocked at some of the things that are being advertised nowadays. And again, we evaluate some commercials this way. They are really, really dumb. But then on the other hand, we consider some commercials to be quite entertaining. And we don't mind watching and listening to them. In many homes, when a commercial comes on, the mute button is hit. Or the channel is changed. You see, we still have freedom in this land to watch what we want, to listen to what we want. Yes, there's freedom of speech, and we're very thankful for that. But simply because you have freedom of speech does not mean that I am in any way obligated to listen to you. I don't have to. But none of us like to be told what we can listen to, what we can watch, and what we cannot. We don't like that. But on the other hand, as Christian people, we certainly submit ourselves to God and His Word. And as we study His Word, we find that He says, you know, there are certain people that it's best if you not listen to them. There are certain situations in which you should not place yourself. There are certain things from which you should flee. There are certain things about which you should not talk. You remember Paul addressing the Ephesians in that 5th chapter, and he says, those deeds done in darkness, it's best if we don't even talk about them. Well, tonight, as we briefly look at a passage in Jeremiah 23, we have the Lord telling His people, there are some people, don't listen to them. Don't give them an audience. And so for tonight, we pick it up in verse 16 down through verse 24. Verse 16 of this 23rd chapter. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word, who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It shall fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it perfectly. I had not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the doing of their evil of their doings. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Amen. Well, as we look back over this passage, we'll start off by considering, first of all, an appeal. The Lord makes an appeal to his people through the prophet. And you notice this appeal comes out in verse 16. For thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. And we read that and we don't think much about it, but if we could go back and put ourselves into that particular time and consider the people who heard these words, the people were shocked. I suggest to you, they were shocked. Jeremiah, what are you saying? You're saying to us we should not listen to the words of the prophets? The prophets who are always here, they're busy in the temple? Jeremiah, what's wrong with you? Don't you understand that God has ordained the prophetic ministry? That he speaks to us through the prophets? That he has them preach to us the law? That he warns us, that he comforts us, that he guides us? What do you mean? Don't listen to the prophets! And so I suggest to you that people were shocked at this. It would be about like someone saying to us, don't go to church. You don't go to church. You just stay home and listen to your radio. We'd say, what are you talking about? Jesus Christ ordained the church. Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. Jesus Christ said he would always meet with his church, the local church. It's the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God says you do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. What do you mean? Don't go to church. Well, you see, that's how it affected these people. Don't listen to the prophets who are prophesying to you. Well, why might he say that? Well, you notice, they make you worthless. That word worthless carries the thought of vain, or they lead you astray, or the thought is that of air. They just fill you with air because they're filled with a lot of air. And he goes on and he says, they speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. Now these false prophets didn't go up to the people and say, well, got a vision out of my heart. No. As we read in chapter 14, in verse 14, they minister in the name of the Lord. They were always saying, the Lord has said, the Lord has said, the Lord has said. But the Lord did not say. It was a vision of their own heart. The Lord says, don't listen to these prophets. You leave them alone. Don't give them an audience. And as we go through the Bible, we find the Lord tells us to leave certain people, to avoid certain situations and things. As you know, on the morning opening, we always read through the book of Proverbs. And So consider these words you're familiar with. Chapter 4, verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. Pass on something. Leave away alone. You don't go in certain directions. You don't associate with certain people. Chapter 5, verse 8, he's warning the young man about the adulterous woman. Remove your way far from her. Don't go near the door of her house. You stay away. You see, much of our sanctification involves avoiding certain things, leaving certain things alone. And you pick it up in chapter 14, verse 7 of the book of Proverbs. Notice what the wise man says to us. He says, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. And isn't that true? You can into a conversation for some people, and it doesn't take you long to find out, I'm going to get away from this old boy. He's just a blowhard. He's got nothing worthwhile to say. There's no way I can profit by having a conversation with him. You may say, well, that sounds awfully cruel. No, we are to redeem our time, and some people you don't waste your time on. Such a one who has no knowledge. And then again, from the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, and verse 24, you notice what is said. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. You see, people that we have a close association with, they have an effect upon us. In unconscious ways, we begin to imitate them. Perhaps their gestures, their language, even some of their thinking, some of their beliefs. And here, this is a bad thing. A man that's got that short fuse. Don't make a close friendship. You'll start acting just like he does. And you don't want to do that. And then, of course, we have the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 16. He has this statement to say, you pick it up in verses 17 and 18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Avoid them. Certainly they should not be brought into the fellowship of the church, and in any of your conduct, avoid them. And of course, Paul, when he wrote 1 Timothy, he wrote 2 Timothy. He brought out this matter. There are just some people you avoid, Timothy. People do not have an association with them. And so here, the Lord says, do not listen. Do not give audience to these prophets who prophesy to you. Now we have to deal honestly with the text. He does not say, assuming that you're grounded in the faith, that you can talk to these false prophets. He doesn't say you can argue with these false prophets. He doesn't say you cannot try and point out the error of these false prophets. You can do that. Dr. White does that all the time. What he's saying is, you don't place yourself under these prophets. You don't heed these prophets. What they have to say as far as your directions for life or what they try and teach you about God. No, you don't submit yourself to them. The people of God are to submit themselves to the most accurate gospel preaching they possibly can. You don't want something you've always got to be picking through the chaff and the wheat, the chaff and the wheat. And so here's the word that comes from the Lord. Avoid these people. But then in the second place, the Lord gives an assessment of these prophets. He gives an assessment of their ministry. And you notice what he says as regards the chief audience of these false prophets. their audience. You notice they continually say to those who despise me. The audience has to do with those who despise, or the word you could translate, they reject. They reject me. They keep prophesying and prophesying to those who really want nothing to do with me, who deny me. And what do they say to such people? You'll have peace. You'll have peace. Or again, you notice, to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. They live their lives according to their own desires, according to their own wicked hearts. But don't worry. In essence, he's saying you can have your sin, enjoy it, and have peace and no trouble. Boy, the flesh loves that. You shall have peace. No evil shall come upon you. We need to consider the historical times. Oh, the rumors that were going around about war. Assyria in the north, a very powerful nation. They've already done damage to the north. And then to the east you have the Chaldeans, and they're an ever-growing power, and in due time they'll overtake, you see, the Assyrians, and then they'll come in, as the Lord says, like a great storm. But don't worry, you'll have peace. And of course, the thing about a false prophet, a false teacher, they always have a little truth intertwined. They could say, well, we have the temple. We have the sacrifice. There's circumcision. We are the covenant people. We have the priesthood. No other nation has this priesthood. No other nation has this prophetic ministry. Well, they had a lot to say. No evil shall come upon you. Peace. And these prophets who were saying peace, peace, they knew good and well how these people live. And we've already took note of the wickedness they were involved in, the rebellion they were involved in. The prophets knew it. But they didn't confront them. You've heard the old saying, look who's calling the kettle black. Well, that was the problem. For you look at verse 11 of the 23rd chapter. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. They knew these men and their sin, but they would not confront them. The law was not being preached, you see. And by the law is the knowledge of sin. They didn't set forth the law. These men didn't want to hear this law, for this law convicts, this law disturbs, this law upsets, this law says, I've sinned against God. But isn't it interesting when you enter into the New Testament, didn't Jesus preach the law? Didn't he confront men with their sin? What's the Sermon on the Mount? Isn't he confronting the scribes and the Pharisees with all their hypocrisy? He confronted men with their sin. Men need to be confronted with their sins. Jesus came to save sinners. And until a man's convicted in some fashion of his sin, of his sinfulness, he'll never be saved. He'll play church. And Jesus, you think about him, the woman at the well, can you imagine how he treated that woman? She wants to talk about religion and worship in Mount Samaria, worship in Jerusalem. And he tells that woman, you don't know what you worship. You worship an idol. And then add to that, what does he say? Go find your husband. He knew she was living in adultery. He confronted the woman with her sin. True evangelism will involve, at one time or another, you confront people with their sins. And the rich young ruler, my, how moral and upright, and oh, he had an understanding of things, and he wanted eternal life, and the Lord sets forth the law. Well, go sell all that you have and give to the poor. In other words, break your idol. Stop your coveting. Stop worshiping your money. He went away in sorrow. The Lord confronted him with his sin, his idolatry, the worship of money. Men are to be confronted with their sin. What is it that drives a man to cry out to Christ for mercy? Doesn't it have something to do with his sin? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And so here, the Lord, He gives an evaluation of their ministry. And then these men, and here's verse 18, and you'll have to make your decision whether the Lord is saying this or whether the false prophets. I'm going to interpret it that the false prophets are saying this, and they're doing so in deriding Jeremiah. They say, "For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard His word? Who has marked His word and heard it?" They're talking about themselves. "We have heard the word of the Lord. Don't tell us we're speaking out of our own hearts. We've been in the counsel of the Lord." And the picture is that of the Lord upon His throne, and He's surrounded with a great host. We have a little picture when you look at 1 Kings chapter 22. And you notice what is said here with reference to Micaiah and his prophecy. Verse 17. "Then he said, I saw Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep and have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me?" And then verse 19, Micaiah says, "I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this matter, and another spoke in that matter. Then a spirit came forth and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you." And so that's the picture here. We stood in the council. The Lord has spoken to us, and we have passed on his word. I suggest to you very strongly, these false prophets, just like all false prophets, like all false teachers, like all those who do missionary work for the cults, were very hard-hearted men. Extremely hard-hearted men. They had heard the truth. They had been confronted by Jeremiah. They had been confronted by others. But they are hard-hearted men, and they reject God's truth. They have a deep hatred for Him. That's the false prophet, you see. And you notice what God says, "Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord's gone forth. It's going to be violent. It's going to come upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord, it will not turn back." And then He says, "I've not sent these prophets. Yet they ran. I've not spoken to them. Yet they have prophesied." And so this is the assessment that He gives of these people. Don't listen to them. Don't give them an audience. They're leading you astray. But then it seems there's an alternative set forth here. An alternative. Verse 21, "I've not sent these prophets." But you notice verse 22. "But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings." If And there's difficulty of interpretation. If they stood in my counsel, if they had preached my word, they would have turned to me. Well, Jeremiah did that. Some of the other prophets did that. But the point is, these prophets, they did not stand in my counsel. These prophets did not proclaim my word. You see, if they had proclaimed my word, my people would have turned from their wickedness. You see, the word of God preached does not return void. It accomplishes what He pleases. Yes, maybe regeneration. Yes, maybe hardening and reprobation. The point for us is this. We are obligated in all of our dealings with men. Always speak the truth. Always speak the truth. Tell men the truth. And in so doing, you may not see any immediate results, immediate fruit, but our responsibility is to speak the truth. You speak forth the truth, that word, that seed goes upon the heart of a man, and that word has an effect. It has an effect. It is there. He can't get away from it. I think I've told you before about a pastor friend of mine, a very godly man, had some children, and he reared them as best he could in the fear of the Lord, and before long they made a profession of faith, become involved in the church, but in time it became very evident that two of them were not converted. And one of them became very decadent. Left home, left the church, left the whole area, and dove deeply into sin. He did eventually come back, but he gave forth a testimony. He said, "When I was away, the day I hated most was Sunday. I hated it. And I would do what I could to drink or dope up, because I knew what my family was doing. I knew where Mom and Dad was. I knew what Dad was doing. And he'd been well instructed in the faith, and verses would come home and haunt him. And oh, how he hated that day. But he wouldn't let go of his sin." And in the course of time, he was talking to some friends and telling them about his home life, his family life. And his friends, believe it or not, these unregenerate friends said to him, "You're such a fool. Such a fool. If I had a family like that, I'd get back to them as quick as I could." He went back. He was received. Now, I wish I could tell you that the story ended quite well. But as far as I know to this point, the man shows no evidence of saving grace. But the point is this, that word that was sown, that word had an effect upon him. He couldn't get away from that word. That word put some restraint upon him. The point is, we need to always speak the truth. Because we have a story, you see, from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ about a prodigal son. He went far away, but he came to himself. And he went home. And the father received him. "This is my son. He was lost. But now he's found." You see, some of those prodigals, they do come home. And so we'll spread the truth. And we'll pray that that loved one, that friend, who's off in the far country, come home. Come home. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your wonderful grace. We acknowledge that we are sheep and we are easily led astray. And it has all been of your kind mercy that you have kept us, that in some cases you have delivered us from the false prophet. We give you thanks. And at this time, we are indeed mindful of those who are in the far country. Oh God, we ask, have mercy. Make that seed that has been sown in the heart to take root and to bear fruit. Help us in this coming week, Lord God, that we would be discerning men and women. For there are many voices all around us seeking to pull us away from you. And we have that remaining corruption of our own heart to deal with. But we believe that the grace of Jesus Christ is all sufficient. And we are thankful for the promise that work you have started, you will carry it on. Amen.